Part number 4. The King is coming. This is the promise. In subsequent lessons, we will study the actual coming. This week, let us concentrate on the established fact based on the irrefutable, unchangeable promise of God that the King is coming. In the history of man, given in the image of a man, revealed in a dream to Nebuchadnezzar, God traced human history through Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, the disintegration of the Roman Empire, to the time when the feet and toes would be struck by a stone, a rock. Now, if you'll take your concordance for a stone and a rock, you will discover that many times, starting from Genesis 49, a stone and a rock refers to the Messiah. Jesus Christ is the rock. Jesus Christ is the stone. And when the stone strikes this image on the toes, the whole man disintegrates, and then the stone becomes a great mountain and fills the earth. And according to Revelation 17, the mountain is a kingdom. So here is a vision of Jesus Christ, the messianic stone, setting up an eternal kingdom here on earth. And this kingdom shall never be destroyed. There won't be any other succeeding generations. It will break in pieces and subdue all these other kingdoms while it establishes the eternal kingdom of God. Part number 1. The kingdom is coming. In our prayer, the Lord's Prayer, every time we call upon the name of the Father, we say, Thy kingdom come. It has not yet come. We long for it to come. It is still future. As the prediction concerning Christ was made, He shall be, that is Christ, still future, shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Most High. God shall give to him a throne. He hasn't it yet. He shall reign over the house of Jacob. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. There is much confusing talk about the present in some theological discussions. The future is bemused. It's befuddled. It's diffused. The Bible talks about a kingdom that is to come, and that kingdom is the kingdom of glory. There is a sense in which there is a kingdom of grace now, which is the regnancy of Christ in the human heart. The kingdom of God is within you. But when we talk about the kingdom come, this future kingdom, we should remember the kingdom of glory. And in our discussions, make a careful distinction between the kingdom of grace, which is Christ in the human heart, Lord and King and Savior, and the kingdom of glory, which is Christ supreme on the throne of the universe, in which there is no longer any sin, apostasy, or rebellion. In his manifesto on the Mount, Jesus Christ assured that the meek should inherit the earth. That's future. The meek are those who never justify themselves. There is no thought of self-vindication. God is the one who is going to take care of all aspects of their life. Part number 2. Satisfaction assured on the part of the founder of the kingdom. He, that is Christ, the messianic stone, the messianic lamb, the messianic shepherd, shall see of the travail of his soul, term applied to childbirth. He will see many sons that come to glory. And as a mother is satisfied with the travail of her body, he will be satisfied with the travail of her soul. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant, that is the messianic servant, justify many. This is a judicial act. Because he bore their iniquity and therefore has the right to arbitrate in their affairs. In Daniel chapter 7, we are introduced to the judgment that followed the establishment of the little horn which is far after the fall of the Roman Empire. In Daniel 7, the time of the judgment is not given. In Daniel 8:14, it is. But this judgment in Daniel 7 was to accomplish three particular objectives. The first one, to the Son of Man would be given a kingdom and a glory and dominion. The first act of judgment is the vindication of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Then as Daniel discusses with Gabriel what shall happen in the future, Gabriel again reminds him of the judgment. And the judgment shall be given for the saints. The verdict will be on their behalf. They have been stomped down and crushed by the little horn, but now on their behalf this judgment will make a proclamation. They are saints. Gather my saints together unto me, they that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. So the second point of the judgment is the vindication of the saints. And the third point, the judgment shall sit and take away the dominion of the beast, of the little horn, destroy him. So there is a threefold function in this judgment: a vindication of the character of Christ, a validation of the character of the saints, an exposure of the character of the little horn, and his dethronement from the throne of iniquity, and his destruction. Part number three, thy kingdom come in promise. Jesus Christ himself said in those matchless, beloved words, I will come again to receive you to myself. When he comes a second time, his feet don't touch the earth, we meet him in the air. When he comes a second time, we are to be taken to be with him. And this Jesus, who is coming again a second time, is the same Jesus who went away. He took with him human body. He will come back with human body. He went touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He will so return. He went handleable, touchable, approachable. The same Jesus will return. Now, in the next two sections, 4 and 5, we will be dealing with signs of Christ's return. The disciples were very curious and so asked him on one occasion a double barrel question. When shall these things be? Jesus had told them that every stone in the temple would not be left, but would be moved, and a total destruction result. And then he would come. And the disciples said to him, what will be the signs when these things take place? The temple is destroyed, and thou shalt come again. And thank the Lord, Jesus answered them. And in Matthew 24, we get many signs of our Lord's return. The first point, though, that he made is don't let anyone fool you. There's going to be wars, rumors of wars, deception, problems, false Christs, false prophets, but the end is not yet. Let's never forget that. The inspired writers, Jesus Christ and Paul, never expected the coming of Christ in their generation. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul warns the church, don't let anyone deceive you that day is at hand, for there must come a falling away. So he warns them of deceptions connected with the second coming of Christ. Part number 5 deals with the physical signs. Sun shall be darkened, moon changed in the color of blood, May 19, 1780. Stars shall fall from heaven, November 13, 1833. And then there are to be other signs, distress among nations. We think of Poland, the bombing of Warsaw, 6.5 million Jews cremated, tortured. We think of Vietnam, Cambodia. We think of Uganda. And one can go on, distress among nations with perplexity. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking at those things that are to come upon the earth. And part number 6 gives us further signs, and Christ sets models. As it was in the days of Noah. Noah preached his heart out. 8 souls believed. 8 souls survived. The rest of the world was taken in death, and Noah was left. In the days of Abraham and Lot, Lot and his two daughters were the only ones that were left. They were the only remnant. The rest were destroyed. And when the appeal has been made and the gospel has been preached and the heavenly visitants have added urgency to the human word, then some are taken and a few are left. And we which are alive and are left shall be caught up to meet the risen, resurrected saints, to meet the Lord in the air. In the last days, terrible times are going to come. They're going to be internal problems, covetousness, boasting, pride. There's going to be external problems, disobedient to parents, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, men and women having a form of godliness, denying its power. Perilous times shall come. Perilous times. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Jesus Christ warns. Lest eating, drinking, marrying, building, running to and fro, the pursuit of happiness brings about a failure to capture the principles of eternal life through Jesus Christ. The King is coming. There's no mistake about that. The King's coming is near, even at the door. The King is looking for subjects. He has prepared his throne, he has prepared his kingdom, he has prepared his mansions, he has prepared his Father's house. He is waiting. Take heed, is the message, to make our calling and election sure. We've heard the voice, we have been chosen. If we do not choose to step aside, apostatize, step from where the platform of God has been erected, we shall be ready. And as we study this lesson, let it be with a prayerful resolve that we shall indeed be ready for the King when he comes.